Ferio, the local voice of our hemisphere on WMBR Cambridge. I'm Kendra. I'm joined in the studio today by my co-hosts, Amy Batistiache, Jasmine Park, Mary Masterdom, and Frelancy Fuentes.
Ahí ando nomás.
Aquí andamos. We have an hour of some news, some discussion, some music, and a fascinating presentation and series of questions with Eustaquio Polo from Colombia. And we first would like to remind you of something.
Yes, we'd like to remind you that the views and the opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of WMBR, the Technology Broadcasting Corporation, or MIT.
And also that you're welcome to call us during the show at 617-253-8810 or email us in English, Spanish, Portuguese, or even French at sferio@wmbr.org. And you can catch this and all of our previous shows on the web, too, in the archives section at wmbr.org or at our own website, web.mit.edu/hemisphere. Y en español también, porque este programa va a presentar unas entrevistas en español y en inglés. Y nos pueden llamar aquí en el estudio a 617-253-8810. Y también nos pueden escribir a través de correo electrónico a sferio@wmbr.org.
And there we go. Let's give the news, the Sferio news, over to Mr. Cifuentes.
Empezamos. An autonomy referendum will go to the polls in the Bolivian province of Santa Cruz. An autonomy leader of this region, rich in farmland and gas reserves, went as far as saying that a new republic will be born on Sunday, further angering Evo Morales, the country's first ever indigenous president, who denounces the referendum as an illegal attempt by a rich minority of European descent to hold on to the privileges and undermine the rights of the majority. A majority of Indians, mostly living in La Paz and the Central Highlands. En español, un referéndum para lograr la autonomía será votado en la provincia boliviana de Santa Cruz. Un líder por la autonomía de esta región rica en tierra fértil y reservas de gas fue tan lejos para decir que una nueva república nacería el domingo, lo cual molestó más a Evo Morales, el primer presidente indígena de ese país, quien denunció el referéndum como un intento ilegal por una minoría rica de descendencia europea de mantener sus privilegios y también dañar los derechos de la mayoría de los indígenas que viven en La Paz y en la zona central. Otras noticias. The U.S. reestablishes Navy fleet in South America. In military news, the Pentagon has announced the reestablishment of a U.S. Navy fleet to oversee activity in the Caribbean and Central and South America. The fourth fleet has not been used since its disbandment in 1950. Some critics warn the fleet's renewal will be seen as a warning to governments seeking greater regional integration to counter U.S. influence, most notably Venezuela. En español. En la materia militar, el Pentágono anunció el restablecimiento de una flota de la Armada estadounidense para supervisar la actividad en el Caribe, América Central y América del Sur. La cuarta flota no ha sido utilizada desde su disolución en 1950. Algunos críticos advierten que esta renovación de la flota podría ser considerada como una advertencia a los gobiernos que procuran mayor integración regional para contrarrestar la influencia de los Estados Unidos, de los cuales el caso más notorio es, claro, Venezuela.
Me imagino que también viene del mismo tema de que el Bush también sigue empujando el Tratado de Libre Comercio con Colombia, aunque los demócratas del legislature han dicho que no lo van a aceptar, pero él sigue empujándolo. Uh-huh. Y ahora vienen noticias que sigue mandando más a Latinoamérica.
Más regalitos.
Regalitos.
Más regalitos.
So I was saying that this also comes along with news that Bush, although Democrats have and Nancy Pelosi have said that they're not willing to consider the free trade agreement with Colombia until sort of labor considerations are met, that Bush continues to talk about it and push it, and which is something we're going to talk later about in this show. But I also think it's really interesting, this news with Bolivia. It's going to be really interesting to see what happens here, because I think one of the big provocations for this referendum going to this region that has a lot of the natural resources and a lot of richer people in Bolivia is that there was a law passed limiting the amount of land that one person can hold to 10,000 hectares, which was a problem for big landowners.
Yeah, it totally ruined my my plans for all that land that I had.
Poor Amy. Your 50,000 hectare soy plantation. Right.
We keep cattle there.
Unas noticias más. So a few other news pieces before we go on. The Massachusetts Department of Health has released a series of new numbers about births and other figures in Massachusetts. And the following is a statement by Ava Molina, who's the acting director of the Massachusetts Immigrant and Refugee Advocacy Coalition, MIRA. She says, "The United States is a nation of immigrants, and the Massachusetts continues to be a commonwealth of new Americans. Almost one of every three new children born in our state today has an immigrant parent. These parents are an important and growing component of our Massachusetts family. Our state should not only embrace its immigrant families, but should also ensure that all children in Massachusetts have access to quality health care and education." Imagine that. One out of every three new children born in our state has an immigrant parent. En español, lo que sigue es un comentario de Eva Millona, directora ejecutiva de MIRA, la Coalición de Apoyo a Inmigrantes y Refugiados de Massachusetts. Dice ella, los Estados Unidos es una nación de inmigrantes y Massachusetts sigue siendo un estado de nuevos americanos. Casi uno de cada tres niños que nace en nuestro estado hoy tiene un padre inmigrante. Estos padres forman una parte creciente e importante de nuestra familia de Massachusetts. Nuestro estado debe de no tan solo darle la bienvenida a sus familias inmigrantes, pero también debe de asegurar que todos los niños en Massachusetts tengan acceso a servicios de salud y educación de calidad. And just one last little comment before we continue on to our special news is a comment given by López Vigil, who is a leader in radio communication in Latin America. And he's just talking about how important radio is in Latin America to provide communication in zones of silence, where, you know, a school without children or making sort of a labor movement and all of how the radio kind of fills in the gap. So his comment in Spanish. Bueno, la radio, en especial la latinoamericana, ha servido como intercomunicador de grandes zonas de silencio, de teléfono al aire libre, de escuelas sin paredes, de sindicatos sin tribuna. Nuestras radios han hecho lo más importante, devolver al pueblo silenciado durante tanto tiempo la palabra robada. So he's saying that radio has done the most important thing, given back the voice that had been silent for so long. We hope to do a little of that here at Sferio.
Hey, you know, we were talking about that last week, actually, about the radio. You weren't here last week. That's okay. Jasmine and I were talking to you all about the importance of radio in the indigenous communities in Mexico, right? There was an attack on these two young women who were radio producers. And it was a big deal because it was the only radio station, the only program in the area that was producing bilingual material in their language, which is Chechi, I think. Something like that.
Yeah, so radio is extremely important, especially in Latin America and in Boston, too. It's an important means of communication. So, Amy, I believe you have a bit of music picked out for us.
Yes.
Before we go to Eustaquio's interview.
Well, you know that music and radio are important, but what is particularly beautiful about the tradition of radio and of music in Latin America is the tradition of having songs, topical and protest songs, which of course, you know, we're proud to carry on here in the Sferio airwaves. So since we're going to be talking, sharing with you a interview with Eustaquio Polo, and one of the issues they will be talking about is land and who owns the land and how do you declare your ownership of it. I thought that it would be appropriate for us to start with a song that is called Toma la Tierra. Toma la Tierra porque es tuya, is what the title says. I believe that this is from Nicaragua, but we'll check back later on the show. And I will tell you for sure where this is from. And in the meantime, toma la tierra.
porque es tuya. No tengas miedo, no tengas miedo a la lucha, porque la justicia del pueblo será la que ponga fin a la desigualdad. Porque la justicia del pueblo será la que ponga fin a la desigualdad. Si vas unido a tus hermanos, tienes más fuerza, mucha más fuerza, muchas manos.
Porque la justicia del pueblo será
la que ponga fin a la desigualdad.
Porque la justicia del pueblo será
la que ponga fin a la desigualdad.
Toma, toma, tónala.
Toma, 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 tónala. Toma, toma, tónala. Toma, 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 tómala. Porque es tuya, porque es tuya. Toma la tierra, porque es tuya. No tengas miedo, no tengas miedo a la lucha. Ponga fin a la desigualdad,
porque la justicia del pueblo será
la que ponga fin a la desigualdad. Si vas unido a tus hermanos, tienen más fuerza, mucha más fuerza, muchas manos.
Porque la justicia del pueblo será
la que ponga fin a la desigualdad.
Porque la justicia del pueblo será
la que ponga fin a la desigualdad.
That was Pancasan from Nicaragua in Toma la Tierra, talking about, you know, take the land because it's yours, don't have fear, and we're going to continue with that theme. You're listening to Sverio, the local voice of our hemisphere here on WMBR Cambridge, and we have the great pleasure to finally present to you an amazing conversation, presentation, and then question and answer that we had recently with Eustaquio Polo, who is from an Afro-Colombian community in Colombia, where in, I think it was 1996, paramilitaries came into his community and violently kicked everyone out of it. And he has since gone back along with, I think it's something like 45 other families, and are claiming the land because if they leave it for too long, they lose their rights to it. But in doing so, they're having to contend with paramilitary forces, with police forces in Colombia. And he's got some amazing things to say about the role of humanitarian zones and the role of international observers in promoting human rights in Colombia and protecting people like himself and his family. So as we begin the interview, it kind of cuts in the middle, unfortunately. But he is explaining, telling the story of what happened in 1996 and how the paramilitaries arrived at his home and at the homes of his neighbors, saying that, you know, we want to buy this land, and if you don't sell it to us, well, your widow will sell it to us cheaper. So that's the moment where we start. So this is Eustaquio Polo from Colombia here on Sverio. And you can call us at any point during this interview at 617-253-8810. Para explicar un poquito en español también, esta es una entrevista grabada hace unas semanas con Eustaquio Polo, que viene de Colombia. Y su pueblo...
Que estuvo aquí en el MIT también.
Ah, sí, es cierto, estuvo aquí en MIT. Y ahora ya ha regresado a Colombia, a su pueblo, donde hace en el...
En el año
1996, creo.
Me parece.
Vinieron paramilitares y... ¿Cómo se
dice? Lo sacaron de su tierra.
De su tierra. Y ahora han regresado unos 45 familias y están viviendo en su propio territorio.
Reclamando la tierra, porque si no se quedan ahí por un buen rato, el gobierno mismo dice, bueno, no lo estás usando, es de nosotros.
Uh-huh. Entonces vamos a empezar la entrevista y nos pueden llamar aquí en el estudio a 617-253-8810. So this is Eustaquio Polo.
Diciéndole, te compramos.
That same year, many commissioners were sent to talk to peasants, offering them to buy their pieces of land.
Y si no me vende, la viuda vende más barato.
And if you don't sell, your wife left behind will sell for cheaper, which will be your widow.
Yeah. After you're dead.
Yes.
Y si no, esa tierra la necesita el patrón.
Because that land is needed for the landowner.
Eso. El patrón era Carlos Castaño, el alemán, o sea, paramilitares, empresarios con narcotráfico, sí.
In this case, the landowner, el patrón, were Carlos Castaño, this other person known by el alemán, which were involved in the paramilitaries.
Ya en el 2003 se hacen una zona humanitaria en Iguamiandó para la protección de unas familias que no habían podido salir para los pueblos.
In 2003, a humanitarian zone was created in Hiwa for the protection of the peasants that didn't get out.
Desde allí se le empezó a reclamar al Estado los derechos de las tierras colectivas de comunidades negras.
From that point on, there were land reclamations by people, land reclamations to the government of the lands that were taken away, you know, years before.
Y por haber reclamado estos derechos, somos amenazados los líderes de la comunidad.
And for having asked for our land rights, we have been threatened, life threatened. The community organizers.
Amenazando a la representante legal Ligia María Chaverra.
Threatening our legal representative José María.
Ligia María.
Ligia María Chaverra.
Bueno, no vamos a decirle. No le vamos a decir los nombres de la cuenca porque son los líderes de la cuenca de Iguamiandó y Culbarado. O sea, Ligia María, Manuel Denny, los hermanos Hoyo, Enrique Petro.
So these names are the names of the people are the legal representatives of the region.
Marta Martínez y en especial también a mi persona.
Among those that were threatened was myself.
Allí se establecieron otras dos zonas humanitarias, una en Andalucía y otra en el Tesoro.
In that region where there were also two more humanitarian zones established, Andalucía y Tesoro del Río.
Sí. Para poder hacer resistencia dentro del territorio.
In order for us to resist inside the territory.
Bueno, allí estamos con el apoyo de la Iglesia Inter-Eclesiaste de Justicia y Paz y Derecho Humano.
We've been there with the support of the Ecclesiaste Church for Peace and Justice and the Commission for for human rights.
También quiero decirles otra cosa que el gobierno ha dicho acá a los Estados Unidos.
I also want to share a few words about what the government, what the, our Colombian government has said to the U.S.
Habla de una desmovilización de las autodefensas.
It talks about autodefenses, paramilitares.
Paramilitares.
It talks about a disarmament of the paramilitaries.
Eso es falso.
And that is false.
Porque ahora se conformaron en grupos de águilas negras.
Because now they are organizing themselves into groups of black eagles.
Trabajan en convivir. Trabajan de inspector de policía.
They now hold jobs as policemen.
Siguen cobrando vacunas. Vacunas son unos impuestos.
Oh, okay. They are still charging some taxes to the people.
Y los empresarios, el presidente también ha dicho, el gobierno, que ya le devolvió el territorio a los campesinos.
Another thing that the government has said has to the U.S. is that it has given back the land to the peasants.
Eso es falso.
And that is false as well.
Nos entregó unos papeles y unos mapas, pero el territorio no nos los ha entregado.
They gave us a piece of paper and a map, but not the land.
Porque todavía los empresarios siguen sacando el producto de la palma.
Because the companies are still profiting from the palm.
Siguen con la ganadería extensiva.
They are continuing with the animal farming in the region.
Y siguen las amenazas contra nosotros los campesinos.
And the threats for us, the peasants, still continue.
Sí. También quiero decirles otra cosita.
I want to share a little, a small thing with you.
El presidente tiene una popularidad, o sea, un realce del 80%. Pero ese apoyo lo recibe por los paramilitares que amenazan a los campesinos.
Mm-hmm. So the president of Colombia has an 80% approval rating, but he gets that approval rating through the paramilitaries who are threatening the people.
Que apoyen a Uribe.
Telling them that they must support Uribe.
The president.
Sí. Dicen aquí son 100 familias, son 100 personas y tienen que haber 100 votos, y si no salen los 100 votos ya sabemos que hay gente contraria.
They expect 100 families to be there, and so they expect 100 votes in favor or just to vote, and if they don't come out the votes, they know that there are contrarian people going against the government.
Para la zona donde no estamos de acuerdo con él no hay tráfico para uno movilizarse a votar.
In our region, since we are not in approval of him, there's no way of going to the voting, to the voting places.
También ha dicho el gobierno que no haya quien entregarle el territorio a la comunidad negra.
The government has also mentioned that there's no one to give the land to in the black community.
Diciendo que nosotros somos repobladores de ese territorio.
Saying that we were not the people that live there natively, that they're coming back.
Cosa que nosotros llevamos 20, 30 y 40 años de haber venido, y hasta 50 años de haber venido viviendo en ese territorio.
But our people has up to 50 years living in that place, in that region.
También nos negaron la registrada de los consejos comunitarios menores.
They have denied the registration of the smaller councils.
le pedimos a este gobierno de los Estados Unidos y de las personas que nos apoyan que no más desembolse para nuestro gobierno.
We are asking of the United States and of the people that supports us and supports our struggle that ask the U.S. government not to send any more aid to Colombia.
Hasta que no nos entreguen nuestro territorio que es de nosotros.
Until the government returns the land to the natural owners, us.
Tampoco estamos de acuerdo que le firmen el TLC.
We are also against the signing of the free trade agreement.
Porque eso también nos perjudica a nosotros porque el territorio no está en nuestras manos todavía, está en manos de los empresarios.
Because at this moment the companies are going to be the ones that profit from the land because we are not there. It's not our land yet.
And we'll hear a little bit more about the TLC and Eustaquio's opinions of it a little bit later. You're listening to Sferio, the local voice of our hemisphere, here on WMBR Cambridge. We're listening to a presentation by Eustaquio Polo from Colombia when he was here at MIT. And now we're going to go on to hear another segment of that where he starts talking about the health situation and some other aspects of his current situation now in Colombia.
Es doloroso que el caso de salud tampoco lo hay.
It is painful to see that the health is poor.
Lo digo porque hace dos meses, ahora el 2 de abril, que se me murió un hijo.
I say that because 2 months ago, my son died February 2nd.
Una, no tenía dinero para sacarlo al médico.
One, I didn't have enough money to take him to a hospital.
Dos, estaba amenazado que no podía salir al pueblo porque me mataban. Eso era la amenaza que tenía o tengo, pues.
And I was also threatened, and I am still threatened that if I went to the town, I was gonna be killed.
Así que mi niño murió de un ataque de lombrices.
So that my son died of parasites.
Estos son casos dolorosos que uno dice la vida de mi hijo o la vida mía. Y la verdad, ahí tocó dejar pues que mi hijo muriera.
These are some of the painful cases where people have to make a choice between their own lives and the lives of their family, of their sons and daughters. And well, in this situation, the decision is visible.
Por eso les pido a ustedes acá que cogido de la mano internacionalmente podamos denunciar estas cosas porque ellos dicen que le tienen miedo a los gringos.
He's asking for us to join him and join the struggle in denouncing these acts because they have fear, the paramilitaries, the companies have fear of what the impact of the US.
Porque los gringos denuncian, o sea, cuando van allá y miran que esto es mentira del presidente, entonces ellos se abstienen.
They are afraid of American citizens because they actually have a say and they can denounce people and have an effect.
Pero ellos dicen que la demora es que los gringos salgan porque nos asesinan.
But it needs to be Americans that do the denouncing because if we, as Colombians, do it, we will be killed.
Entonces, por eso las comunidades les piden el apoyo a ustedes acá.
That's why the communities are asking for our help, your help.
que vayan a terreno y sean testigos de lo que nos están pasando en nuestro territorio.
That you go and see for yourself what and give testimony of what the government is doing, what we are going through.
Para que se den de cuenta que nos destruyeron las viviendas.
So that you can learn that they, so you can give testimony.
Los cementerios donde estaban nuestros seres sepultados también le metieron la retro.
So you can give testimony that we, that our livelihoods were destroyed, and that even our cemeteries where our family members were bulldozed.
Eso le pedimos a ustedes, que vayan a terreno.
And that's what we ask from you.
We're listening to the voice of Eustaquio Polo, skillfully translated by Froilán Cifuentes on site. And this is, of course, Sferio. We're continuing with that interview. We'll be playing a little bit more of that. But right now, let's take a little musical break with some Afro-Colombian music from Toto La Pomposina. Si quieren llamarnos, se puede llamar mientras estás tocando la música. Nuestro número de teléfono es 617-253-8810. If you'd like to call us while you're listening to this music or during the interview, you can call us at 617-253-8810 here on WMBR Cambridge.
Boca Cabeza is back, Sundays 4 to 6 p.m. Tune in to the best music from the African continent and beyond with Sukus, Dombolo, Makosa, Kupite, Kale, Kwaito, Highlight, Zouk, and more. That's Africa Cabeza, Africa Absolutely, Sundays 4 to 6 p.m. on WMBR Cambridge.
You're listening to Spheria, the local voice of our hemisphere, here with you every Friday from 6 to 7 p.m. on WMBR Cambridge. We're going to go back now to the question and answer component of the event with Eustaquio Polo. We're going to hear some about those zonas humanitarias, the humanitarian zones that Eustaquio was mentioning, and we'll hear what he has to say about them.
What does that mean? Una zona humanitaria? What does the humanitarian zone means? What is a humanitarian zone?
O sea, ¿qué significa?
Sí, ¿qué es eso? Explica un poco.
La zona humanitaria son medidas provisionales por la Corte Interamericana de Derechos Humanos.
So, humanitarian zones are places, are territories.
Donde uno se refugia para la protección de la vida.
Some provisional pieces of land overseen by the Inter-American organization.
Se pone una cuerda y se ponen unas carteleras donde diga zona humanitaria, o sea, medida de protección de la seguridad.
The territory is surrounded by threat. It has clear labels that this is a humanitarian zone for the protection and peace.
Solamente para la población civil.
And only the civil society has access to those zones.
No se permite ingreso gente armado.
No, it also says, explicitly says, that no armed people are allowed into these humanitarian zones.
Sí. Ningún actor armado se permite dentro de esa zona.
So, you know, no armed groups are allowed into those zones.
Lo único que se puede hacer con los acompañantes que hay internacional de Francia, Canadá, sí, gente que hacen parte a los derechos humanos, denuncian el caso. Bueno, hasta momento.
How are these zones, humanitarian zones, protected? Well, they are protected by the presence of foreign people living there and giving testimonies and denouncing the acts committed in the humanitarian zone. And the other question was, are these humanitarian zones, you know, really safe, effective? And well, say poquito, a little bit.
Porque el ejército ha llegado muchas veces a la valla, sí, a la cuerda, y lo que dicen es estábamos perdidos.
Sí. So the armed forces have actually, you know, really got to the boundaries of these humanitarian zones and, you know, just said, oh, sorry, you know, we were lost.
Entonces los acompañantes les dicen qué pena, pero aquí no pueden entrar.
And the civil society, the members of civil society there, of foreigners and non-foreigners, they say, well, you know, I'm sorry, but you know, you cannot really enter this place.
O sea, que siempre la respetan un poquito.
So it is those places, they are at least somewhat respected.
Por haber extranjero.
Because by the fact that foreign citizens are there.
Y como está, digamos, protegida por la Corte Interamericana, entonces se le ha dicho al Estado que es culpable de esto, cualquiera víctima que resulte aquí, ustedes pagan.
So the Inter-American Court has also said that the government is responsible for any of the victims that could occur in these humanitarian zones, you know, anything that happens here is your responsibility. says the court.
¿Usted dónde vive ahora en Colombia? I'm asking where he lives actually right now in Colombia. ¿Sea en el territorio, en una comunidad, o ha salido aún?
Yo entré en el 2003 a mi territorio, digamos que no vendí allí, ¿sí? Pero por vez de entrado allí, me dijeron, ¿por dónde va a caminar los empresarios?
So I leave. In 2003 I returned to my territory, and because of this, you know, I was told by the companies, or I was told, where should I, you know, where should I walk? What path should I take? And
entonces, yo me encuentro en este momento en la comunidad donde vivíamos antes, ¿sí?
¿Y cuántos son que todavía viven en la comunidad?
Pues llegamos retornando, pues haciendo resistencia, pero no ha sido con el apoyo del gobierno, ¿sí? Sino que nos metemos allá, ¿sí? Habemos 45 familias, pues de los que salimos desplazados.
So I currently live in my original, the town where I lived before, the 1996, 1997, and approximately 45 families live there as well, resisting.
Sí, así. Pues pensando la ida ahora, no sé, porque aquí hay gringos buenos. Y también hay gringos malos. En Colombia hay gente buena y también gente mala. Entonces, cuando uno habla mucho, lo pueden asesinar. Porque así asesinaron a un señor, Orlando Valencia, en el 95, que fue de Bogotá de una comisión, iba para una reunión, y se lo sacaron a lo acompañante y a lo abogado del lado.
We were all thinking about leaving. Well, I don't know. There are good gringos here and bad gringos. And in Colombia, there's good people and bad people. If you talk too much, well, they can kill you. Because that's how they killed this man, Orlando Valencia, in 1995. He was on his way to a meeting, and they took him away, his companion and his lawyer.
Hacemos esta resistencia arriesgándonos por el futuro de nuestros hijos.
We do this resistance, thinking about the future of our sons and daughters.
La hacemos también.
Dígale. We also do continue the resistance.
Porque el gobierno ha dicho que con 5 años hay derecho a posesión. Entonces, es decir, que si dejamos la tierra más de 5 años sola, por ley la vamos a perder. Entonces, vale la pena afrontar los problemas.
And we are also doing this resistance because by law, if there is a piece of land not being inhabited, not being used for a period of 5 years, it's the property. It is the government has the right to take it, and of course we don't wanna do this.
So it's worth it.
So it's worth to be resisting for longer.
Y llevamos 11 años fuera, digamos que no estamos en la finca donde estábamos anteriormente.
And there has been 11 years since we were displaced.
Le voy a contar una pequeñita historia.
I'm going to tell a little story.
Se metieron unos repobladores a la comunidad nuestra.
Some people that wanted to, you know, establish, to settle in our land came to our territory.
Salí a reunirme con el Consejo Mayor y a denunciar esto a la Iglesia Intercesora de Justicia y Paz. ¿Sí?
I came out and went to meet with the council and the Church for Peace and Justice.
Cuando regresaba a mi comunidad,
and when I was coming back to my community,
me salieron dos uniformados del ejército.
Two people armed, like dressed as army officials, as the army came and met me.
Diciendo por qué andábamos huyendo.
Saying why were we, you know, fleeing, running away.
Por qué le habíamos echado la guerrilla a los repobladores.
Why were we throwing, you know, sending the guerrilla forces to the people, to the new settlers?
Yo le dije, ¿ustedes quiénes son?
You know, and you know, I replied to them, so who are you?
Él me dijo, yo soy el capitán del ejército.
And he said, I'm the army captain.
Sí. Yo le dije, nosotros lo que estábamos hablando era con Consejo Mayor y denunciando esto afuera, que se sepa.
Well, we were talking in our meeting with the, and I replied to him, at the meeting in the council is how we were going to denounce, but to the outside, to the people outside of Colombia.
Para que la corte sepa de lo que están ustedes haciendo acá.
So that the court knows what you guys are doing over here.
Cuando yo le dije esto, él dijo, que coste que yo no lo has estropeado, ¿sí? Tranquilo, tranquilo, váyanse tranquilito, ¿sí? O sea, ellos se asustan cuando le mientan a la Corte Interamericana de Derechos Humanos.
So when I said this to him, he got all nervous and said, okay, I didn't do anything to you. You can go on. So Eustachio said that they get scared when we mention that we are working with the Inter-American Court.
Entonces, por eso digo que con más apoyo hay más respeto.
So that's why I mentioned that with more support, there's more respect.
So now we'll go to the last segment of this interview with Eustachio Polo from Colombia, where a woman asks him how he thinks that the free trade agreement, if it was passed, would impact his community.
¿Qué es lo que piensa la gente de su comunidad si este tratado de libre comercio, el TCTLC, se aprueba? ¿Cómo afectará esto a sus vidas? ¿Qué es lo que ustedes piensan?
Lo que pensamos es que vamos a quedar sin tierra en primer lugar.
We think that we're going to be left landless.
Nos afecta porque eso es para los empresarios de que tengan grandes inversiones, ¿sí?
That affects us because the plan is to help the big companies who have plants, plants in that region.
Nos afecta nuestra semilla, que son naturales, o sea, nuestras, sí. Entonces se mete en la semilla estragénica.
It will also affect us in our seeds, in the way we plant, since our seeds are natural and they're gonna be introduction of foreign transgenic species.
Y sí, muchas cosas más que nos afecta, pero el Tratado de Libre Comercio. Por eso que no estamos de acuerdo a que se firme el Tratado de Libre Comercio.
And these are some of the things that might affect us with the introduction of this FTA, Free Trade Agreement. That's why we are saying we don't accept it.
¿Nos puedes describir un poco cómo, qué es la relación o cómo trabajan las empresas de Palma con los paramilitares? O sea, ¿cómo trabajan juntos?
¿Las empresas?
¿En inglés? Uh-huh.
or so I can say it in English. So my question is about exactly how do the POM companies and the paramilitaries work together? What's their relationship?
Ellos trabajan de la mano con los paramilitares.
They work hand in hand with the paramilitaries, these companies.
Porque están armados, digamos, los paramilitares allí, cuidando a los trabajadores de la empresa.
The paramilitaries are armed in order to secure the safety of the workers of the company.
Y también La Palma, hay una parte de Palma que pertenece a Carlos Castaño. O sea, al final, no sé, ¿sí? ¿Pero qué?
Los Castaños.
Sí, a Carlos Castaño, sí, paramilitar.
Oh, and there's a piece of palm plantation that belongs to Carlos Castaños, a paramilitary figure.
Sí, ellos andan juntos, o sea, sí. Los cuidan. Y
él está muerto.
Pero en el 2000, que se decía, él era el que decía, necesito este territorio.
So Carlos Castaño is his dead, but in the year 2000, when these events were unfolding, he was saying, you know, I need this piece of land, I need these territories.
Y los administradores, funcionarios de los mismos paramilitares, ellos.
¿De la compañía?
Sí, los administradores de la compañía, sí.
And some of the administrators of the company are, you know, members are work with the paramilitary. Mm-hmm.
Eso sí. Se tiene prueba suficiente que sí andan.
We have enough proof that, you know, they are related.
I have just one last thing, which is, what is the impact of these large palm plantations on the environment, on the biodiversity in Chocó, which is a lot of biodiversity?
¿Cuál es el impacto que tienen estas compañías de palma en el ambiente, en la biodiversidad de la zona del Chocó? ¿Qué impacto tienen?
Pues nos tumbaron más de 7,000 hectáreas de bosque.
So to start with, they took down more than 7,000 hectares of forest.
Nos secaron muchos humedales.
They dried up many humedales.
Humedales y ciénegas.
Swamps or swamps. It's a good
thing. Nos afectaron con desviándonos los ríos, o sea, caños con unos canales.
They have also affected us in changing the course of rivers and of streams by putting canals.
Sí, canal. Nos afecta por los químicos de la fumigación con glifosato y muchos químicos a La Palma.
It also affects us in that they spray with pesticides and other stuff like glifosato, and well, that reaches us.
Esos químicos se van por los canales y van a los ríos donde uno coge el agua para beber.
Those chemicals go through the canals and into the rivers and streams, which where we get the water that we drink.
Pues eso nos causa daño de estómagos y males en la piel, digamos, rasquiña así como usted.
And that causes stomach aches and rashes in our skin.
También tienen unas bolsas de plástico.
And they have also plastic bags.
Que le echan unos químicos y la ponen en el pie de la corosa allí para capturar a las mariposas y grillos, cosas de la naturaleza.
Como aquí. Como pesticida.
Sí, es como un pesticida, así que echan ahí y la mariposita, chu, ahí va. Porque como que le huele a bueno y se van de ahí y ahí quedan, eso mantiene llenas de mariposas. Entonces, está acabando con la fauna, porque al destruir también los bosques, los animales se retiran.
Another thing that it does is, you know, uses plastic bags with a pesticide in order to attract a good amount of, a good quantity of insects, and it kills them. And well, this is more or less expected, since when the forest is taken down, the animals have to go somewhere, have to leave somewhere.
You're listening to WMBR Stereo, and we just heard from an interview with Eustaquio Polo. Now I'm gonna go on to talk about our urgent action for this week. It's not, you know, related to our hemisphere, but we, you know, we are sure that everyone in our hemisphere cares about issues that are going on around the world. So this is actually, it's happening here in the United States, but it's very interesting. Okay, so Sami Al-Aryan is a Palestinian computer engineer who accepted a plea bargain which resulted in his conviction with conspiracy to help Palestinian Islamic Jihad. Al-Aryan, a former university professor in Northern Virginia, was arrested by the United States government in 2003 on charges of funding terrorists. He was acquitted on 8 and deadlocked on 9 of the 17 charges against him in December 2005 after a 6-month trial with 3 co-defendants. On April 14, 2006, Al-Aryan pleaded guilty to a single count of conspiracy to provide services to the Palestinian Islamic Jihad and agreed to be deported. In return, federal prosecutors agreed to drop the remaining 8 charges against him. Al-Aryan was sentenced to 57 months in prison and given credit for time served. He was to serve the balance of 19 months and then to be deported. However, Al-Aryan served a 14-month sentence for civil contempt of court after refusing to testify against former associates. The 14-month sentence was in addition to the criminal sentence. In December 2007, a federal judge lifted the civil contempt charge. However, in March 2008, the Justice Department subpoenaed Al-Aryan to testify before another grand jury. He has refused to testify. To protest, Dr. Al-Aryan has begun a hunger strike on March 3rd, and as of April 19th, he had already lost 34 pounds. Despite his conditions, he has been poorly abused in various federal prisons. If you want to take an action about this issue, you could write a letter to Attorney General Michael Muskay. His email address is askdoj@usdoj.gov. Again, his name is Attorney General Michael Muskay.